All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F-Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. Welcome in and welcome aboard. If you are listening and want a good place to go for lunch, we are at Carbach Brewing. You should be here, too. It's the football season. It's just kicking off, and we are happy to have you in the house as we get ready to take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7, all the while talking about sports and a whole bunch of other stuff, and we have got an agenda for you. Barry is out doing some comedy in Kansas. Therefore, Raheel, for the second day in a row, has been nice enough to join us. Raheel, welcome to the fray once again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again. Had a blast yesterday, man.
It was fun. Good times. Time flew. You were on time today, and you are going to open up hour number 3 with your impersonation of the What Up H-Town.
Yeah, and I'm going to put my own spin on it also.
That's not shocking to me.
Because I don't want to take your – I don't want to take it verbatim. I want to take what you have and make it my own.
Okay. You want to own it. All right.
Yeah. So I'll do that in hour 3, and, man, a lot of different things going on in the world of sports today, so that's pretty cool.
Nicholas back at the station keeping us on the air. We appreciate you, Nick, and we appreciate more that you're not here to soak in all of the benefits of Carbach Brewing and the great food and beverage.
Day number 2, I miss out on free food. Day number 2. What did you guys have?
We haven't ordered anything yet, just so you know. Because Charlie has ordered everything on the menu, so they're spending all their time in the kitchen trying to get this buffet line set up so that Charlie can get all of his food.
No bacon-wrapped quail or anything like that?
Charlie's got a bun-wrapped something, but he's indulging and loving every minute of it. He's here still. Blitz will be here. Our promo team is here, too. So you might as well stop by, pick up some free goodies, grab some food and beverage, and enjoy the atmosphere of what is a great spot. Raheel and I were talking about it yesterday. It's actually on, if you want it, when you Google map it, it's on Carbach Street.
Yeah, they have their own street.
Their own street. The brewery is next door. It's very cool. There's windows in the restaurant so you can see how the beer is being brewed. Very neat setup here. Very, very clean, upscale-looking environment. Great beer, great food. Stop on by. Like I said, we're here till 4. Blitz is here till 7. Anything happened last night on your agenda that breaks the ice?
It was a three sporting event kind of night. I was going to say 3 night TV, but I don't have 3 TVs. I'm not making that kind of money. But it was a busy night yesterday with – look, I didn't watch the Texans game, all right? I didn't watch any of it. It was the Astros. I was watching Oklahoma State, Missouri State. One, because I wanted to see Oklahoma State, you know, Big 12 schools. So I want to see what they were looking like. And Cornelius, 22-year-old starting quarterback, finally gets his shot at this now. He's been there forever, so, you know, this is his turn. So it was nice to see that young man get his shot. And then, of course, watching with, you know, Missouri State, I was interested watching that because of JT, John's son, who is a backup quarterback there. Unfortunately, he didn't get a chance to play last night, so that kind of sucked. And then I was watching A&M, seeing how Jimbo looked, he and his guys, and my dude Travion was on fire yesterday. Third play of the game, bust one to the house, 70-plus yards. And that kid is fantastic, man.
Why
like,
is he your
I
dude?
Root for him. So I met him when we were doing our shows out there.
I remember that.
A couple years ago, and I had a chance to hang out with him. He was on in the morning show. You know, I just kept in touch with him and just rooting for him, man. It's really cool to see him as the featured back in an offense that will thrive in the running game. Like, that is what it's all about. And then next week they have Clemson.
Big game.
Man, that's good.
College Station.
Yeah. I even asked Dell, I was like, you want to head up there and watch it? Because that might be the College Game Day game. There's nothing there's nothing else on the slate next week that would capture that. You know, you got Stanford, UCLA, so maybe that one. But you got Clemson, A&M, Jimbo having his big marquee game. He gets that win. You beat Clemson in week 2 after all the hopes are invested into you. That's a huge, huge moment. So maybe it'll be there. I'm not sure. Nothing's official. But that's a game I want to go watch. It's a 6 o'clock
that's a
game.
Double.
Too.
Clemson is a double-digit favorite on the road at College Station. That is big. Mm-hmm. But you're right. If Jimbo wants to put him on the map quickly and make a mark, that's exactly how he does it. If he can win at home against a powerhouse like Clemson and Dabo and his boys, so that'll be interesting to see. Yeah, I watched the Astros last night. Disappointed as Verlander was that he got taken out. When he got taken out, he felt like he could have pitched out of it. But unfortunately, thanks to Tony Sipp and Will Harris, the deficit was too big to overcome as the Angels won. Good news is A's won. I was watching that, flipping back over to make sure that the A's didn't win. So the lead is still 3 in the loss column. I did check in on some A&M. I was watching the box score. I was watching the updates on the internet on Granato's kid. How JT doesn't get a shot after watching a kid the same age as him. So I understand if you're trying to push a freshman that's, you know, you're promising things to, but you're playing behind a junior who looked like garbage. Yeah. Give JT a shot.
And, you know, it's hard to criticize a kid playing Oklahoma State. Like Missouri State, you could tell the difference between the schools, right? It's obvious they're in two different, you know, they're two different teams in terms of what division they play and all that good stuff. But you could see the size, the strength, and how different it is. So, you know, I get it. A quarterback's going to struggle. But at some point, you got to give another kid a shot. Look, physically, Missouri State obviously is not there with Oklahoma State.
Right.
Oklahoma State is still a good team. Guys were bouncing off of Oklahoma State players the whole game. And the speed is different, what you're used to. But, look, in games like this is why you try out everybody. Just see what you have before you get going in a conference play, all that, and unfortunately it didn't work out that way. So
yeah, you're playing a big-time opponent. They're way ahead. Mm-hmm. Why not give the kid a chance? Because if the kid gets in and he shows any kind of signs of life that he can do some things, then, like you said, you go back to what the schedule is that you're normally used to playing against the caliber of talent where you're on an equal playing field and say, hey, this kid could excel for us. He could give us an advantage that we need. And obviously the guy that we put out there last night didn't have it going. At least give him a trial run so that you can say going forward, I got a guy that I can at least give some opportunities to, at least in the passing game or whatever it might be, to show that he can help us win some football games. And that didn't happen. It was very disappointing.
Very. Breaking news. Well, it's not breaking. It's posted at 11:30. But Tyler just sent this to us. Richard Dice says that College Game Day is heading to College Station.
Well, there you go.
For next.
So does that mean
game.
That Raheel and Dell are heading to College Station?
I want to go watch it. And Texas,
what time is that game?
6 o'clock.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, so it's not a bad day. You can watch all your games and then head up there. Drive's not too bad. Texas is playing Tulsa next week at 7. So I can watch that on DVR Sunday night or whatever.
I'm like, I can still play hoops in the morning and still possibly get there. I might consider that as well.
That's going to be a pretty dang good game. So we'll see what happens. But A&M will be hosting College Game Day next week. So it's finally kicked off yesterday. That was a nice appetizer.
And we're kicking it off here at Carbach Brewing. Nick, anything happened eventful last night?
I'm just happy that the Rockets were finally able to get rid of Ryan Anderson, man.
Yeah, that's somewhat of breaking news. It broke last night. Some of the details leaking out this morning, and Woj had a couple of bombs to back it up. So that's something that's high on our list to get to. Some of the Texans' cuts are rolling in as well, so we'll be talking about that. A couple of very well-known names in Texan circles over the last couple of years are going to be looking for work elsewhere based on moves the Texans have already made. So we've got lots on the agenda, and we also want you to be a part of the show. If you want to partake, you can do it in several different ways. You can call 713-780-3776. You can also text that number. That's our HRP listener line. We'll take those calls and texts and do our best to get them on the air. You can also reach us via Twitter, where it's @the_Raheel, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick, as we will monitor text messages throughout the show and get those as well. It's an FEF Friday, but the joke's on us. Barry's out of town, so therefore no comedian of the week, at least last time we checked. So if that is the case indeed, that means it opens up just more time for you guys to participate, as we will not have comedian clips to get to, but we'll have plenty more on the agenda because there is a lot to get to. So hopefully you're fastening your seatbelts on a Friday and you're going to take us along for the ride. We appreciate you listening. Back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
The most delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download. Wait, I think I messed that up. The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you heard the man. Only Barry's out, so Raheel's in. We appreciate you joining us on an FYI Friday on The Usual Suspects. As we continue to roll on, just broke the ice a little bit in segment number one, but now we're ready to get going full tilt. Do want to remind you guys, this is the most family atmosphered establishment I think I have ever been a part of, remotes or otherwise, in the fact that people are sitting there enjoying some great beer and some beverages and some food and doing all that stuff, but you see kids and they enjoy the outside area and the families are all like coming in as a group and sticking around for a while. It's a great spot. You need to come out, check it out. Hang out. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Happy hour from 3 to 6 with $3 mainstays. Great menu items. Cold Carbach beer. You can't go wrong.
And it's easy to get here now because the construction around here is okay. That's the other part of it because I know everyone's like, 290. Yeah. No, it's okay now. So yeah, come on
down
here.
I didn't have
here.
Any problem getting here. None. And I thought coming off of 610 to get to 290 last time it was a joke. This time it was a breeze. So, yeah, very easy to get to, as you mentioned. Great spot to hang out. Stop by, see us. Our promotional team is here to give away lots of goodies. You can spin the magic wheel, have some fun along the way. They're great, and we're here to tell you that we're okay, too. News of the day that you and I want to get to, so let's get to it right away. We'll get to the football stuff in just a minute. But the news breaks later last night that Ryan Anderson, no longer a member of your Houston Rockets. The deal that I said would make the offseason a success for the Houston Rockets, as Nick plays the music to let you know how he feels. Ryan Anderson going to the Phoenix Suns. It's a 4-player deal. I'm interested to get your thoughts, Raheel. The biggest thing from my perspective, out of everything that goes with this deal, I really love that kid, DeAndre Melton. And I thought that even though he showed out in the summer league, and everybody has the ability to do that, but this kid has been highly touted since he got into high school. I thought they got a steal in the second round. People I've talked to said the kid's got a lot of game. I know you got – this is like the Brock Osweiler deal that Rick Smith had to make with the Texans. You got to give something up to get somebody to take your garbage. I hate to say this, but my only apprehension in this entire deal is that Melton goes because I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, you know, with D'Antoni, the concern is that, yeah, he might become a guy here, but there was nowhere for him to play this season. I think right. He would have gotten
– It would have been a process.
It would have been harder to find minutes for him, especially with the addition of all the guys so far, Carmelo, James Ennis, all these guys. In addition to your bench having Eric Gordon, it would have been a little bit harder to get him some minutes. So you will miss out on him if he ends up being a guy. And I bet you he'll put up some decent numbers for the Suns because he'll have playing
some
run. Time.
Yeah, he's going to get some run.
Like, you're going to have playing time, right? You'll have chances to make an impact. And we'll see what happens. But this, to me, great that Ryan Anderson's gone. But what you got in return in Knight, that to me is like, here's our insurance that in case – anything happens deep in the playoffs with Chris Paul, which more than likely it will. That, like, unfortunately, as much as we like Chris Paul and the attitude that he brings for this team, all that, you look at the two deep runs that he's made in his career in the playoffs, they've all featured injuries.
Yeah.
Hamstring. You know, soft tissue stuff. Like, that is, unfortunately, that's what it is. Maybe it changes this year, but you need to have an insurance policy in place and a guy that can, of course, help you out when – some games during the regular season. You know, Brandon Knight coming off the ACL tear, that it's not that big a deal anymore. ACL tears don't change a guy's career as they once did. It's everyone says that, and it's true. So it's a nice piece in addition to Ryan Anderson getting out. I love that Brandon Knight's here, and I think that's a guy that could make an impact with that second unit as a guard.
Yeah, here's my take on every bit of it. I really think Melton can play, but I think that Melton is going to be a project, as you said. It's great for his development. He's got to be excited. As good as it was to go to a winner, he's going to go to a spot where he's going to get plenty of run, plenty of opportunities. Daryl has been long enamored with guys that have been lottery picks, simply because he calls those assets. He thinks that there's always the ability to find that magic button to push that gets that lottery player to turn out to be what they were thought to be when they came out of college. That's what you're getting back if you're the Rockets. Because when you look at what the Rockets get back, you get Marquese Chris. He's a 6'10 project, quote-unquote. But he's got the skills, and he was a former lottery pick. So you've got a guy that can develop, even if he becomes this year's Tarik Black. You got a guy you can develop. You can work in with Joe Chi. You can work to kind of follow the path that was set forth by Clint Capella. You've got guys that are able to work with him, including John Lucas. So there's a guy that's a project, but he might have some results down the line. I think the bigger pickup is exactly what you're talking about with Brandon Knight. Now, Brandon Knight, the ACL thing worries me, but as you said, with technology what it is today, I hope that the recovery period makes him not have to have that whole year grace period before he gets back to what he was. Because what he was a pretty solid point guard in this league. I never liked the Michael Carter-Williams pickup. He shot horribly from three. He doesn't do anything well. I used to go back to the old McHale theory of when you get a guy in the first round, he used this with Sam Decker a lot. After a certain amount of practices, he has to show you one thing he does well. He maybe has springs and he really elevates, or he rebounds well, or he runs the floor well, finishes on the break, or he shoots it well. I haven't seen any of that from Michael Carter-Williams since he came into the league, and nothing has given me any indication that he's going to eventually turn the corner and get there. Brandon Knight's a guy that has established himself in this league as a decent to better than average point guard, and you're right. That's what they didn't have a year ago. If he comes close to what he was before the injury and can back up Chris Paul, I love the move. Now my only concerns going into the regular season with this team is can they defend? Because they lost two of their five best defenders. They really haven't replaced them. Everybody knows they can score points. My biggest concern is can they defend?
See, I think Ennis is going to become a stud defender here. The guy is athletic. He's long.
He is that.
And he's shown that he likes to play defense before also. It's not like he's one of those guys, Carmelo, where there's defense, you don't like it. And I think in the system, I think he will be okay. And P.J. Tucker is going to have to take even more of a defensive role within this team. I think Ennis can be a guy, and then Brandon Knight also, I think, can be a guy that can start playing some good defense for you at the guard position, especially in that second unit. Chris is an interesting pickup for the second unit, and also a guy in the first half of the season that if he starts showing something, you could package him for a trade. You can package him for a pick in addition to what you've already gotten. So I think he could be a future trade piece for the Rockets in Marquese Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with him, but again, it's kind of similar to what you just said about Melton in the fact that DeAnthony's a player that's got a lot of potential, but on a roster that's full of talent like the Rockets, not many opportunities to get to play. You look at a guy that had opportunities to play in Phoenix, and maybe he showed a few signs, but coming to a team like the Rockets, they're good. They don't need him. He'll spend a lot of time in the D-League. They're going to try and do some things to get their people to work with him, but on a couple of different fronts, you got to realize whether it's the Rockets that start going, hey, this guy's showing us some things. We might want to really keep him and develop him. Or teams are going to look and see from the D-League and otherwise, hey, this guy maybe has finally flipped the switch and is getting better, and we might need to play him some more or find a home or try and get him from them. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Who's backing up Capella next year? Joe Key?
They love him, but I just don't think he's big enough. I don't think he's got the solid physical attributes to do it. So I'm not sure, man.
I think, again, Chris is raw, but
he's played. The good news is he's played in the league.
And he does a lot of things that Capella does. Lobs are good, can jump out the building, can meet you at the rim and get some good block shots. That he knows how his timing is good. And you just need 15 minutes from him. You don't need him to put in that much time. You need just because they'll go small also.
But that's the thing. They'll go small and put Tucker at the five from time to time, so you'll eat up some minutes there. But overall, you saw how many times Tarik Black touched the floor during the regular season. Yeah. So it's not like it's going to be a big pressing need, and it's not going to be a lot of minutes. Nick, you cover this team on a daily basis. You watch what they've got and what they do. What are your feelings on who backs up Capella and how much time this kid might see on the floor?
I don't know if Joe Chi gets that. I don't know if he's ready. And I think a part of it is because he hasn't really gotten the minutes. So maybe if he does get those reps, he could potentially be a backup. But from what I saw last year, he was kind of lost in terms of where he needed to be. He seemed a little nervous for obvious reasons. It's not the G League. But I don't know if he gets enough minutes, especially how stingy D'Antoni is with giving minutes to players. So I don't know if he plays that much.
You bring up a good point, Nick, because here's the thing. As much as they're so night and day different in terms of their styles when coaching, Van Gundy and Mike D'Antoni have something in common, and that is they're not big on playing young players. I go back to what D'Antoni did with Montrezl Harrell, a kid that really showed that he could play, a kid that had high energy, rebounded the basketball, finished around the rim, had some springs, had a lot of his own teammates loving when he got in the game, and D'Antoni just said, you're not going to play for me, you're definitely not going to play in the playoffs, and shut it down. He gets to the Clippers, he shows what he can do. Van Gundy did the same thing. When they drafted Rudy Gay, and Van Gundy was like, he's never going to play for me, so just letting you guys know, you might want to do something else. So they shipped Rudy Gay to Memphis, and they took an established veteran that Van Gundy could trust in Shane Battier. That's the kind of feeling that I get with D'Antoni that worries me. That's why it's probably good for Melton to go out if you're looking at, like I said, from D'Antoni's point of view. But it also worries me about Chris because I don't know that he's going to see the floor a whole lot, especially in big-time minutes or playoffs or otherwise, simply because I don't know that D'Antoni will ever trust him.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see what other moves are going to be made and what else is on their radar. And again, look, the center position, we're looking at the Warriors, right? That's the ultimate goal. And I know it's a little bit more crowded now with the Lakers and Oklahoma City giving it one more run with Paul George and Westbrook. But when that Warrior series, how much of an impact did the center position really make? Capella started making an impact, but for the first half of that series, it was almost like, why even have him out there?
But you get rid of the sideshow that was the Shaq and the Fool aspect of what they had in post-play to get an all-star center. Mm-hmm. Now they have versatility. Now they have a guy that they can put it on the low block and say, Boogie, go get me two. Go get me a hoop and some harm. That's big. And he's also got a lot of size that Capella doesn't have. And I say that two different ways. One, he's wide, he's strong, he's established. Capella doesn't have that, but he's got height. You take Capella out, you put P.J. Tucker on Boogie, Boogie's going to be able to shoot over him, going to take him on the outside.
And that's where I was going with this is the Warriors didn't have a true center last year that could, like, really get you minutes. McGee was nice in the finals.
Right.
But Capella was by far the best center, right? And you know what they did? They said, all right, we don't have the center. We're going small. Good luck, Capella. Good luck. We're just going to go small. Draymond's going to guard you, give you a hard time, and then we'll just kill you guys with threes, right? That was the plan. The Rockets can maybe counter that with Boogie. We'll see what happens with other center moves out there. It's going to be a fun season, but the big thing is Ryan Anderson.
I said it. I did videos on it. I said you can call this entire offseason a success if you can find a home for Ryan Anderson. You've done that. Regardless of what you've had to take back, you unload a guy that was going to be no good for you when it matters most in the playoffs. So that helps, and that contract was just devastating. So that's good news. If you guys want to talk about that, we're open to it. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. That's our HRP listener line where you can call and text. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitter. By the way, our good friend, and now congratulations to intern Andrew Carlson, who's now been brought on board, at least on a part-time basis. He reminds us that Isaiah Hartenstein is a part of the Rockets roster this year. Again, a guy that's shown promise, but come big-time bright light minutes, I'm not sure he's going to sniff the floor. But, hey, another guy that they've been working with that they hope to maybe get something out of, maybe more long down the line and in the future than this year. But it's worth mentioning, and we give Andrew a shout-out as well.
Yeah, all right. Keep hoping, beautiful Andrew.
I don't like that nickname. I'm never going to call him that, but if you guys do, that's fine. Okay, so we'll continue to roll on. It's Nick, it's Raheel, it's Joel, it's the Usual Suspects. Live from Carbach Brewing, stop by and see us or participate in the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to Carbach Brewing. I'm telling you right now, it's the place to be. It's the place to be every single day and night, but especially when football season's kicking off. Stop by 2032 Carbach Street, right off of 290 off of 610. Pretty easy on, pretty easy to park. Plenty of parking across the street and lots of great atmosphere. It's great food, great beverages. A lot of stuff going on. Our promotions team is here giving away a lot of goodies as well. Pockets will be here to make sure you spin the wheel. I don't need any more twerking. And
come shoot your shot. Come shoot your shot, gentlemen. You never know. Single now? Ooh. Come shoot your shot.
I didn't say that. Raheel's playing Let's Make a Deal and Love Connection all in one fall swoop right here at Carbach Brewing. Hey, you know what? Whatever it takes to get you in the doors, we'll take you till 4. The Blitz will take you till 7. We were talking about the Ryan Anderson trade and what the ramifications are for both Phoenix and for the Rockets. Overall, you know, I said it. I really feel like if you unload Ryan Anderson's contract, whatever you did this offseason was a success. My biggest question mark now is just, can this team defend like they did a year ago when they were a top five defense?
That's the biggest question. They got plenty of offense, and we'll see what they do. But Ryan Anderson's out, man. The one
you're
piece
gonna miss
that,
him?
Not really. But like more,
I'm gonna miss the fact that no matter how many shots he missed, he kept moving further and further out.
Yeah, like he's gonna find his stroke. Usually it's you, like if you're a shooter or somebody that is a streaky shooter, you try to get some layups. You try to get a foul,
yeah,
get free throws
to get going,
and then you feel good. And then Ryan Anderson's like, no, I'm just gonna go half court for whatever reason. But that was a guy that Morey, like, it was always linked, right? Like, man, Morey wanted Ryan Anderson, always.
Ultimate power forward stretch four in the Rockets system. The guy they had to have. This is a lot like the Carmelo Anthony deal. You know, the thing that I worry about the most is Mike D'Antoni and how he had problems with Carmelo in New York. We all know that. But Mike D'Antoni without Carmelo Anthony did one heck of a job with this team and got them one hamstring away from an appearance in the finals, and in my mind, they would have won it. And his reward for all that was Daryl Morey, who has been enamored with Carmelo for years, decided he had to have him and had to go out and get him. And, of course, because the price was right and it was cheap enough that if they do feel like it's not working out, it's $2.4 million. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you now give your coach a headache that he's had once before that didn't work out well, because he admitted the reason why he left the New York Knicks before the season was even over was he couldn't take Carmelo anymore.
Yeah. Ryan Anderson was that sports car that he's always wanted. Daryl Morey, like, Daryl always wanted that, right? Like, as you mentioned, Ultimate Four, and he finally got him. Overpaid a little bit.
Right? A little bit.
Overpaid a little bit. Hey, the cap went up, though. Okay, Joel? The cap.
That's the way you justify it?
Yeah, that's why. But he finally got that sports car, and he realized, like, man, you know what? The gas kind of sucks, and I want to get rid of this after 2 years. And you know what? I'll take a killing on it. Fine, whatever. I'm done with it. And now
this is the Brock Osweiler deal all over again, because people quit looking at the fact that there were times when Ryan Anderson made a good portion of his shots, and all they remembered was $20 million a year, two more years left. The contract is disgusting. He's not even close to worth it. It's all the same things you heard about Brock Osweiler and more. And then, of course, the same way it all goes down. You've got to give to get rid of a guy like that. Mm-hmm. So you had to give the Browns a pick that inevitably turned out to be a top five pick to ensure that they would take your garbage you didn't want. Same thing with this deal with the Suns. And like I said, to me, it didn't matter what you get back, because no matter who you get back, I don't think they're going to have an impact. Hopefully Brandon Knight proves me wrong and he's healthy and he gets a chance to at least get some spot minutes and give you an insurance policy, as you mentioned, for Chris Paul. But more so than anything else, the one thing that pains me about the whole deal is Melton is a kid that I thought he had a lot of ability. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, Raheel, you're in. Barry is out. So therefore, we have a caller that we only get when Barry is out, because they don't get along. But he loves basketball. He loves the Rockets. He drinks a 64-ounce red Kool-Aid every day to prove that nothing is better than the Houston Rockets. And now he wants to join the show. Kurt Lowe, what's up?
You know I got to join my boy Joe Podcast when Barry ain't there. You know what I'm saying? What's going on?
What's up, man?
I called in today, man, because I wanted to explain to people that, you know, Ryan Anderson fell off the planet Earth last year. I don't know what the hell happened to him. You know what I'm saying? He was hesitating, shooting threes, and all this other stuff. You know, the Rockets won this trade by a mile because they got rid of Ryan Anderson's contract, $20 million a year. You know what I'm saying? And for them to pay $15 million to Reza don't make it any better over there with the Suns. But he's a perfect fit. Ryan Anderson is a perfect fit for over there for what the Suns want to do, putting them right next to Ayton, because Ayton's a franchise changer over there. But, Joe, one thing I wanted to say, you know, that's a big loss with De'Anthony Melton. I was showing, I was seeing signs of a great player, a great role player in that summer league. You know what I'm saying? If you look for flashes with young players.
No, I said it, Kurt Lowe. I mean, I was a big fan of his. He's been highly touted throughout his career, even through high school. You know, he had some messy situations off the floor going on with the whole lawsuit that was going on with the NCAA and all the things that were going out with the allegations. But overall, it didn't take away from the fact that he could play. And from the minute that he was drafted by the Rockets, it looked like another Ketino Mobley, Chandler Parsons, second-round pick from Daryl Morey. It looked like a guy that was going to come in and prove to be well worth his second-round status and then some, and he had the ability and the potential to really blossom into something big. That's what hurts me the most, because I don't disagree with you. Look, the Phoenix situation, they're not winning anything in the next 2 years, so it doesn't matter. They're just going to take on as much crap as they can take on to stockpile draft picks and contracts that will go away in the next year or two, like Trevor Ariza. I've said all along as well, the Rockets had no business paying Trevor Ariza $15 million, but you can't fault Trevor Ariza for taking 15 on the downside of his career and getting paid, just like J.J. Redick took 22 or 23 last year. But overall, from a Rockets perspective, the only negative I see in this entire deal is the fact that you lose a kid that might turn out to be something. And I don't want to use the term special, but I think he's highly talented.
Absolutely. Might is the big one. Yep. And he will look good next year because he's going to get minutes.
You're right.
And I think Brandon Knight's going to be good.
Joe, this is my thing. I keep hearing, and I'm tired of hearing from the media, the outsiders that are out of Houston, you know, all they talking about how important Ariza was and the reason that we're going to lose more games because of Trevor Ariza being on us. It ain't got nothing, I'm not being on the team. It ain't got nothing to do with Trevor Ariza on the team to the reason why the Rockets are going to lose two or three or four or five more games than they did last year. It's got everything to do with Melo. That man's a ball and chain on the damn ankle right now. If anybody was not paying attention to the OKC Thunder, he was the number one problem on offense and the number one problem on defense, so why they couldn't be a top team. You know what I'm saying?
Now, Curlo, how hard is this going to be for you? Because you are a guy that blows a trumpet for the Rockets the size of a hot air balloon, but yet because they got a guy that you absolutely despise, how is this going to work with your fandemonium with the Rockets and the fact that they've added a guy like Carmelo Anthony?
Let me make this clear to everyone. I don't hate Melo personally. I don't know him. I hate.
Oh, you hate his game.
Yeah, I hate his game. When you ain't hustling on defense, but you know what I'm saying, trying to contest shots, when you don't care about defense on that shot, and when you're shooting inefficient shots, and when the coaches are telling you, hey, man, take a step back, take a three, and you're not listening, it's the player that's the problem. And that's a cancer on any team you put in the NBA, because the NBA is a team sport. If you got one a goofball on another level sitting there looking at butterflies, worrying about shooting long mid-range shots, you know what I'm saying, with a hand in his face.
Okay, Kurt Lowe, so here's the thing.
Problem.
With all these things that you're saying, and here's a guy that's supposed to replace Ryan Anderson, and then you also lose Trevor Ariza. So whether you care or value Trevor Ariza or not, you lost him and you lost Luke, who at least in the regular season were two-fifths of your best defenders. You haven't replaced the ability to defend the way those two guys did on the ball or off of it. Where are you going to get that defense? That's what concerns me.
No, that shouldn't concern you, because they upgraded their defense when they got rid of Ariza, because Ariza wasn't the best defender last year. Mute was for the perimeter defenders. Okay, but James Ennis was two or three times better on defense last year. People didn't notice that.
No, he wasn't. Yeah.
Yes, he was. Michael Carter Williams was two times better than Ariza on defense last year.
Michael Carter Williams isn't two times better than a glass of lemonade on a hot day. Let me just tell you this. Kurt Lowe, this is where, aside from you saying James Harden is the greatest player to ever play the game, this is where you lose me, because of the fact that I've also harped on what Trevor Ariza meant to that locker room. But overall, and you can look at the general managers that wanted him in this league, he was still an above-average on-ball defender. He rotated better than most players in this league. He was athletic enough and long enough to get stops. James Ennis is not that guy, although he's athletic. He may be able to pick up the system. Good for him. But you're losing two guys that played great wing defense that you don't have anymore. That's a problem. We appreciate the call, Kurt Lowe. All right, man. Don't be a stranger. I know it's tough because with Barry out, that's the only time you'll call. But at least you bring some NBA to the table. Raheel, we can get from you on this after the break. But
The Ariza hating because of that stretch he went through because of all the missed three-pointers. You do – man, okay, yeah, I don't want to – I know we're hitting
the You're absolutely
break.
Right, too. It's all about one series, one game. So we'll continue to roll on. We got Rockets that we're talking about. We can talk about the Texans. We can talk about the Astros. Tough loss last night. Good news is the A's lost, too. They're back at it at the Juice Box. Lots to get to, and if you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. Call us or text us back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. First hour of the show. Continuing to move on. Barry's out. Raheel is in. Joke's on us on an FEF Friday. No funny business. Because we don't have a comedian of the week with Barry out of town. We'll do our best to fill in those slots where we normally would play those clips. But, hey, glad to have you on board, man. 2 days in a row, having a lot of fun. Always good for us. You and I like to chop up hoops anyway. So always good to have some hoops to talk about. But there's other things on the agenda we got to get to. Texans cuts, not wasting any time. They're rolling in. You've got a list to get to. Some surprises because there's some names that people know on this list. But it looks like Brian Gain is putting his stamp on this roster early on.
Yeah, it started this morning with Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame punter. I think it's fair to say
I would
Hall
agree with that.
Shane Leckler, done. Trevor Daniel, in. So a guy that, or a position that we didn't think would be a battle or a cut position. You're like, okay, punter, Shane Leckler's good. You know he's fine. They bring in Trevor Daniel and ends up giving him a fight and taking his job. So that's done. Shane Leckler said he's not going to retire from football, so you'll see him on some team pretty soon. Shane Leckler out. Some other people, Braxton Miller of note.
Yep.
That's another one. So the wide receiver battle, Braxton Miller's out.
So here's an interesting thing. Right? So on 2 points you made. One, with, I know it was a tight battle for punter, but Leckler hit a boomer last night, hit a couple, and everybody kind of said, okay, he can relax now. He's got this. Could it be financial? Could it be that you take the young kid, you save some money, maybe you use it elsewhere, and it wasn't that big of a gap? And on the Braxton Miller deal, the thing that's interesting to me is that tells me what I wanted to hear, I think, in terms of they might be looking at the waiver wire going, there might be some guys out there that we can snatch up that can give us more than an oft-injured slot receiver from former quarterback in Braxton Miller.
Yeah, I wonder what they do there, if they're going to pick up somebody or are they comfortable with guys that are already on this roster. We'll find out with the big cuts tomorrow, the final cuts tomorrow for every team. So we'll see if there's going to be any big surprises the Texans can pick up. And especially if there's guys out there that get to pick where they want to go.
Yep.
This is one of the places you want to be, man, because you've got Deshaun, you've got an offense that, look, the wide receiver, you're not going to be a one or a two, not even a three, because Ellington, to me, is your third guy.
Because Deshaun likes him.
Deshaun loves him, right?
Yep.
So maybe that, and then the tight ends showed a lot this year with Akins. The rookie tight ends have been looking good. You know, Thomas has looked nice. Akins has looked nice. Steven Anderson, by the way, he's done. So another Rick Smith pick gone. Steven Anderson's out. Braxton Miller's out. Corey Moore, who once started, he was starting at safety. He's out. So that was kind of, you know, that was one that you kind of saw coming because they're pretty stout there in the safety with the safety group. So those are some of the
Reed
big
has
things.
Looked fantastic.
Yeah, Reed had a big pick yesterday.
Yeah, Reed's playing very, very well. Proven as a rookie, they got that right. Do you think that part of what Brian Gain is doing is weeding out Rick Smith draft picks? Because Braxton Miller, let's be honest, that's a draft pick, that's a name, that's a guy that people saw that name and thought, okay, all right.
It's exciting.
Yeah, that could be a big he could develop into something big for them, and instead he just – all he's been is injured, and he's never really lived up to expectations.
I don't think it's him weeding out guys, but I think it is a shift in the kind of player they want. Right? Rick Smith might have valued a certain kind of guy. Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien might value a certain kind of guy, right? So I think that's what might be happening here. Also,
Rick valued a guy that he could cut and make sure it was known as a mistake as a draft pick based on his draft record.
You know what you never want to be if you're an NFL or a college player going into the NFL? A third rounder for the Houston Texans.
Very true.
Never want to be that guy. Well, at least under Rick Smith. I don't know about it. We'll see how Brian
Gain. What about fourth and fifth round picks that don't want to be caught in hotels with marijuana?
That could be another one.
All right.
I'll go through the third round picks here in a second.
Yep.
David Questenberry also out. So that's another guy.
Oh, he got cut.
Yeah, he is. He just got
Jay
cut.
Jay Prosh.
Prosh is out. Yes.
Yep. Thank Virgin. Everybody thought D. Virgin. Hey, nice camp. Had shown some things. He also showed me the ability to get burned a little bit. Mm-hmm. He got a pick last night, though it was like a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. But people were thinking, oh, maybe he's going to solidify his position. Nah, not so fast.
Nope. That's not it. Here are third rounders, for the Houston Texans. We'll go back. Tell me when to stop, all right? Last year, with this past draft, I think, they had three third rounders.
Justin right, because they didn't have a first or
second. Yeah, Rankin and Jordan Akins, and we'll see how this plays out. Last year's third rounder, Deontay Foreman, injured.
Not bad. Injured, but not bad.
So he won't play until week 7, pup list. You've got third rounder Braxton Miller in 2016. Rest in peace.
He gone.
You've got Jalen Strong, 2015.
He gone.
Rest in peace. Yep. Career touchdowns for those two, 0.
Jalen Strong was known more for off the field than he was ever for what he did on the field, and then he lived up to that billing even when he went to other teams.
C.J. Fedorowicz, third rounder, 2014. Rest in peace.
Yep.
Xavier Suafilo, rest in peace. Louis Nix.
Oh,
didn't even make the roster.
That's one of Bill O'Brien's pet peeves every single time. That was bad.
Third rounder, Brennan Williams. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Brennan Williams. Rest in peace, like legit rest in peace. He's a wrestler.
Ah.
Like Undertaker, rest in peace.
Okay.
Yeah. So that one, Sam Montgomery. Trevardo Williams.
Sam Montgomery was part of the hotel thing.
Yep. Sorry, Trevardo was a fourth rounder, so I apologize on that one. Right. But another miss there, Devere Posey.
Oh.
You want me to keep going? Brandon Brooks?
No, we're good.
Brandon Brooks ended up being okay afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, for a while, although he's had issues this camp. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, turned out okay. But overall, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think Brian Gain is putting his stamp on this roster. Like I said, with the third-round picks he had this year, I think he got it right. He's already proven to have gotten a steal where Lance had him as a first-round talent in Reed, and Reed has looked fantastic. So I kind of like the fact that Brian Gain's coming in saying, hey, I'm going to do this thing my way. I'm going to put my stamp on it. I'm going to get my players in here that I know, trust, and feel confident in. And like I said, the only thing I want to see now is I want to see him watch that waiver wire because I liked what Sammy Coates brought to this team. We haven't heard what they're going to do with the receiver position overall with their depth. But Kuti didn't play last night. Maybe he's a practice squad guy. I don't know. But if you want guys that are going to help you and perform on the field starting right away, I think they look at the waiver wire and say, hey, how do I improve my depth with maybe a financial cut someone's got to make to save some money?
I wonder what they do with Kiki because the injury kept him out during training camp.
Right.
And you're kind of waiting for this kid to get back and see if there's any chance he could play in week one.
Did you think he was going to play last night?
Yeah, I did. Maybe they just said, you're going to make the roster anyway, so why risk it? Let's get you healthy for week one. Because there's nothing he could have done last night working on routes or, timing with Brandon Whedon or Webb that could have helped. So maybe you hold him out for week one and you just hope that he can add something to that. I don't think you're gonna lose games because of the final two wide receivers out there.
No.
But you could definitely have something there.
Win games or solidify winning games with guys that can catch the football, catch it in traffic, make possession receptions when you need them. Again, look for depth. We talked about it yesterday, too. Lamar Miller, because of the fact that Foreman's still hurt, because he's not going to be ready, blue is what he is. We know what he's going to be. I want them to watch the waiver wire and see if there's not a running back, a wide receiver, maybe some depth or some better talented offensive line where you can just pick up some guys that can give you some more stability and depth at positions of need. That's what I want to see. You had mentioned the secondary as well. We'll see what happens. But this is another way that I want to judge Brian Gaine in his first year, making sure they do their due diligence and kick the tires to find out if there are guys being released that can help this team right now.
Man, Jay Prosh, the final fullback, the final frontier, done.
Dude had a pretty sweet gig.
Dude, a million.
Next to a backup quarterback. That's a pretty sweet gig, yeah. Man. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. If you want to join the show and be a part of it, we want you to be here. So, therefore, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can also hit us up on Twitter, and we'll be good about responding as we continue to roll on from Carbach Brewing. Stop by and see us or the Blitz and or both, 2032 Carbach Street, 290 and 610. We'd love to have you along for the ride on a Friday. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go
with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.